Well, good morning, everyone. We are kicking off our summer sermon series, and it's called Red Letter Summer. And if you're not familiar with this whole idea of red letters, you might have noticed in some Bibles, some of the words are in red. This Bible has some words in red. Here's the thing. Bibles weren't always printed with red letters. In fact, the printing of Bibles in red letters started in 1899. There was a guy by the last name of Kopsch, who was the editor and proprietor of the Christian Herald magazine out of Chicago. He was friends with D.L. Moody. If you're familiar with D.L. Moody, Moody Bible Institute, one of the forefathers of the Sunday school movement at the turn of the century, Kopsch was one of those guys. And he's a really interesting guy. He ran the Christian Herald magazine for about 16 years or so. And during that time, raised approximately $3 billion with a B for world relief efforts. I know. This is like the early 1900s, raised $3 billion. But at the heart of his very heart, his desire was to see people have Bibles. But it didn't stop there. Because for him, it wasn't about people just having Bibles. He wanted them to actually read their Bibles. I know, a novel concept. But he didn't stop there. He didn't want people just to have Bibles and read Bibles. He wanted them to understand the Bible. Again, what a great idea. And so what he decided to do is he goes, I want people to, at the very least, know what Jesus said. And so he decided he was going to highlight just the words of Jesus. And he put them in red letters. The reason he put them in red letters was because Jesus' blood sets people free. Amen. So 1899, first New Testament with red letters was printed. The first Bible, whole Bible that included the red letter sections, 1901. So it hasn't been that long. But during his 16 years, he was printing and distributing roughly 60,000 Bibles a year. Do the math, that comes out to about 1 million Bibles with red letters in them. So that's where the red letter Bible comes from. This summer, what we're going to be doing during our red letter summer is every Sunday morning, whoever is preaching, and we got a great lineup of people preaching. I'm going to be preaching some, but we also have Chris Gothold, Emily Seiler. We're getting Debbie Beckler back up here. We're going to have Matt Allseth preaching here. Justin Pritchard will be preaching here this summer. Steve Burdick. We got a great team of preachers this summer. And every person that's preaching, the instruction was this: choose something in red letters. And so every Sunday morning, there will be some red letters that we'll be talking about. Now, the red letters we're going to pay attention to this morning are these. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Do you dare believe that Jesus says those words to you? That Jesus stands before you and says, come with me by yourselves to some quiet place and get some rest. Now, before we answer that, we got to put these red letters into their context. So you find this in Mark chapter 6. And this is what Mark chapter 6 says. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. This is where it starts. It starts, this section starts with the disciples or apostles coming back from their short-term mission trip. Because if you go earlier in chapter 6, this is what happened. Jesus, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So the beginning of this, the disciples have just gotten back from their short-term mission trip. You get to the end of this passage, and Jesus is about ready to feed the 5,000. Starts coming back from a mission trip, ends about ready to feed the 5,000. And right in the middle of it, we get our red letters. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Here, I need you to channel your inner four-year-old. Can you do that for me? I need everybody in here just to channel your inner four-year-old. Because right here it says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Why? Why should I? Jesus says, come with me to a quiet place, get some rest. But the inner four-year-old in all of us goes, why? Why should I get away with Jesus? Why should I? Well, a couple reasons. You are about to burst. You are about to burst. Did you see what happened at the beginning of this section? The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. They were so excited. Oh my goodness, they were excited. Jesus had sent them out to teach and preach and do other things, and they get back and they're like, ah, Jesus, I gotta tell you about what just happened. We put oil on this one guy who was super, super sick, and then we prayed, and then he was okay. And then we also were casting out demons. Never did that before. It was kind of amazing. A little scary a couple times, but super, super cool. And here's the other thing. When we were teaching and preaching, I've never done that before. In fact, usually when I talk, it goes like that. But not this time. When I was talking, there were really smart things coming out of my mouth, and I knew right away, that's not me, because something else is happening, because I'm not that good of a talker person thing. So when that was happening, it's like, God, it was so... Have you ever been in a place where you've experienced something and you're so excited about it, you can't wait to tell someone? Have you ever been in that place where you've experienced something and you're so excited, you can't wait to tell anyone? Person in the grocery store that you've never met before. You know, paper, plastic, okay, but let me tell you about Jesus. Hey, have you ever been in a place where you're super excited and you just gotta tell someone, do you dare believe that Jesus, knowing what you're excited about, says, come with me to a quiet place. I wanna hear all about it. Or maybe flip it. Maybe what is filling you this morning isn't this abundance of excitement. Maybe what's filling you right now is grief and sorrow and confusion and frustration. Do you dare believe that Jesus, knowing what consumes you this morning, stands before you and says, come with me to a quiet place and tell me everything that is consuming you. Why should I get away with Jesus? Well, maybe because you're about to burst, or maybe you need to get away with Jesus because you're about to collapse. You ever feel like you're on the edge of burnout? Or maybe you've crossed over the edge and you're in the midst of burnout and life is just pummeling you right now. After I graduated from college, I started to work at a church in Ventura. So we lived on the beach. It was a tough assignment, just suffering for Jesus. But I took up bodyboarding while I lived there. And so we'd go out regularly, a bunch of friends of mine, and there was something that would happen almost every time I'd go out. You'd be out there in the ocean, and you're paddling, and you're having a grand time. But towards the end of your time out in the ocean, I'd start to get a little fatigued. And I would look back and I would see a set of waves coming. And at that moment, I had to paddle to get to the right spot. And I'm paddling, but by the end of the day, I'm getting kind of fatigued. And I don't have the energy to swim as hard and fast as I was able to earlier. And instead of getting into the optimal spot, I would get in a less than optimal spot. Instead of catching a wave, the wave would catch me. And when a wave catches you, it just would take me and would pick me up and just throw me straight down. And I would go under the water and I'd be spinning and spinning and spinning, trying to figure out which way is up, literally. And finally I get there and I'd break the surface and I'd take a deep breath. And inevitably at that moment, the next set of waves has come and it just pounded me again. And I'm going over and over and over. You ever feel that way in life? You're going and you're going and you're going and you're just so tired. You think, no, if I just keep going, if I keep pushing a little harder, I'm gonna be okay and I'll catch my breath. Boom, and life just does it to you again. Remember what happened to the disciples here. Because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. They were exhausted. Jesus, recognizing their exhaustion, come with me to a quiet place and get some rest. Do you dare believe that Jesus, knowing the level of your exhaustion, invites you to do the same? I was reading an article in Christianity Today recently by Delina Price McFall called Giving Sabbath a Rest. And this is what she writes. No matter who you are, you will experience a heavy burden and a weary soul. Whether it's a financial burden, racial or religious oppression, failing health, or a chronically ailing body, or all of the above at the same time, struggle will call your number. It is precisely in the midst of our weariness that Jesus offers us his yoke, the opportunity to be tethered to him. Oh, weariness will call your number. Whether because of things that are happening to you or because of your breakneck pace of life, weariness will call your number. Do you dare believe that in the midst of your weariness, Jesus invites you to come away with him to a quiet place and get some rest? Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest. Why? Well, maybe because you're about to burst. Maybe because you're about to collapse. Maybe because you're about to get lost. In the passage that I read a few moments ago, it said this: when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I was reading this week, and I go, wait a second, time out. Those people were like sheep without a shepherd. Weren't those the people that were seeking Jesus? This was a group of people that saw him leaving, recognized, and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. This was a group of people that were chasing after Jesus, and yet they were the people that Jesus described as being lost. Has it ever occurred to you that you can get lost in the midst of your seeking and serving Jesus? Has it ever occurred to you that you can get lost in the midst of your seeking and serving Jesus? I need to introduce you to someone. This is Miles. Miles is my 11-month-old blue tick hound. I need to tell you a few things about Miles, named Miles after Miles Davis because all of our dogs are named after jazz musicians. This is Miles Davis. Miles, blue tick hound, meaning a very intelligent dog. With the intelligence comes a high level of stubbornness. Oh, that's one stubborn dog. They also, hounds, have a keen sense of smell and sight. Do you know why hounds have really big ears? I always thought it's so they could hear better. It's not why hounds have big ears. It's because when a hound does this, and those big, giant Dumbo ears go down, it makes a funnel for them to be able to smell everything better. When this dog gets locked in on something, visually or smell-wise, everything else in the world ceases to exist. I've had people tell me that when they had their dog out that was a hound and they caught a scent, it couldn't hear a thing because it was just so locked in. That's all. We took Miles for a walk. There were 100 sheep next to us. Didn't even notice the sheep because there was another dog across the street and it was just nothing. It locked in. And that dog frustrates me so much until I stop and realize that's me. I can get so locked in on something that everything else ceases to exist around me. I got a hunch I'm not the only person in the room like this. Oh, we get locked in on our stuff, and sometimes it's good stuff. These people were chasing after Jesus, and yet they were described as sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. Maybe we need to get away with Jesus to ask directions. God, this is what I'm totally fixated on. Is this what I'm supposed to be fixated on right now? It was really important then. It was actually helpful, useful then. Is it still what you want me to do? I've always been amazed at Jesus' response to this situation. Here he wanted to get away, have some quiet time, and then there's a whole bunch of Miles Davis dogs that were apparently getting lost. And it doesn't say that Jesus got frustrated. It said that he was filled with compassion. Our English language doesn't do the Bible justice right here. Because we see the word compassion and we think, oh, those poor people. So Jesus saw these people that were like sheep without a shepherd, and Jesus just went, oh, bless their heart. That's not what the scriptures say there. It says that he was filled with compassion. The Greek word there is a form of splagnixomai. Splagnixomai is, if you're dealing with that anatomy of the word, it's literally talking about someone's stomach. So the picture here isn't Jesus going, oh, those poor people. No, splagnixomai says he sees the people and he hurts for them so intensely he feels as if his stomach is being ripped open. That's what the word is talking about. So when Jesus sees a people that are getting lost, he's not, oh, he aches over that reality. Do you dare believe that Jesus, knowing your tendency to get fixated on things and end up getting lost, do you dare believe that Jesus, knowing your tendencies and mine, is not filled with frustration, he's filled with splagnixomai, compassion for you. And out of his great compassion says, come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest. Why should we get away with Jesus? Maybe because we're about to burst. Maybe because we're about to collapse, or maybe because, without us even knowing it, we're getting lost. Or maybe Jesus says, come get away with me. And if they ask why, Jesus looks at him and goes, because I told you to. When Jesus says to the disciples, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest, it's not a suggestion. Jesus is making a commandment here. He's commanding his followers to practice a Sabbath rhythm. If you're not familiar with Sabbath, you hear about it in the Old Testament often. In Exodus chapter 20, it says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to make the Lord, is a Sabbath to the Lord God. In the colonial times, the Puritans had a saying. It said, good Sabbaths make good Christians. Good Sabbaths, people that practice a rhythm of getting away with Jesus to a quiet place and getting rest, make better Christians. In the book, Slow Church, and it's a fascinating book, but there's a portion in it where the authors, Patterson and Smith, write this, Sabbath is a day meant for our great good. the day in which we pause our striving and start abiding. The day we pause our striving and start abiding. But they go on to write, Sabbath is an exercise in radical grace. In the midst of our sin and brokenness, God loves us. Our Creator God looks down at us with absolute love. We set aside the Sabbath to meet that gaze. Ooh, Sabbath is the time that we get away for a moment and we return a gaze that's looking upon us with absolute love. Kevin Emmerich writes this, the Sabbath therefore helps us realize we completely depend on God for all our needs, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Why is Sabbath so important? After all, it's a command to do nothing. It requires no activity or effort, and that may be precisely the point. This above all command encourages us to trust in God in a way that no other activity can. So much more could be accomplished by adding another day of labor. But the Sabbath requires us to trust that God will provide for all our needs and that he will continue to manage the world without our help. The Sabbath is a practical reminder that we are completely dependent upon God. It's the day that we stop creating. We're following the example in Genesis. God creates, 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 seventh day rests. As we Sabbath, we stop creating and we start appreciating again. Oh my goodness, all of this is from you and all of this is for you. There was a book that came out a handful of years ago by an author named Lauren Winner. Lauren Winner was born and raised Jewish, a practicing Jew. Later in her teen years, she met Jesus and came to know Jesus and gave her life over to Jesus. But she began to recognize something in her life. She began to recognize that she was missing all of the Jewish practices that she once knew. And so she started to revisit the Jewish practices through the lens of Jesus Christ. And her book, Mudhouse Sabbath, is her rediscovering these practices, these Jewish practices, and how they truly come alive in Jesus. And in her reflections about Sabbath, she writes this, and I love it. Because too often we think of Sabbath as, okay, Sabbath. Oh, no, no, no. She writes this, you are commanded principally to be joyful and restful on Sabbath, to hold great feasts, sing happy songs, dress in your finest. Married couples even get rabbinical brownie points for having sex on the Sabbath. I'm thinking, this is a good day. The idea, this isn't just a, oh, no, it's a day that we rejoice in what God has done. That all that we have is from him and for him. It's the day I get to return the gaze of a father that loves me. I get to abide in that great love. Again, Jesus says to his disciples as a command, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Get some rest. For some of you, this has been a really uncomfortable morning. The rhythm of not just the sermon, but the service, for some of you, this has been awkward. Kind of like wearing somebody else's shoes. Just doesn't fit. Because for many of us, it is awkward to be still with the Savior. We are so conditioned by our culture to have every moment filled with sound or something we're watching or activity. And as a result, the call to get away with Jesus and rest is just awkward. I do not apologize if you felt awkward this morning. For others in this room, this morning was like getting a drink of water on a hot day. Oh, that's exactly what I need. I need to focus on the table and rest with Jesus. It's exactly what I need. Here's the thing. Sabbath, if we reduce Sabbath to just a day, we miss the heart of Sabbath. If we reduce Sabbath to just a rigid 24 hours and this is it, we end up missing the heart of a God that says, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I mentioned the article by Delina McFall, and I loved her observations about Sabbath. In talking about her practice of Sabbath, she writes this, I had been acutely aware of time virtually standing still while the rest of the world swirled outside of my bubble. Sabbath was more than a day. It was an aura. There were sights and sounds and smells associated with this sacred time. It was what Jewish scholar Abraham Joshua Heschel called a palace in time. Sabbath as a palace in time. But I knew the work involved in preparing to rest. And from experience, I knew a weekly day of rest would not eliminate busyness, workaholism, or a restless heart. The cure for those things was found in resting in Jesus. What could be sweeter than having a palace in time every week? Living in that palace full time. That's what rest in Jesus is all about. For me, it wasn't about a day anymore. It was about letting go of the shadow to experience the reality. Jesus was the oasis of rest in spite of the relentless madness happening around me. Ooh, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want my relationship with Jesus to be more than setting aside a day for him. I want my relationship with Jesus to be more than a visit to a palace in time. I want to reside there full time. I want to be in that kind of place where I hear the whisper of Jesus saying, come, come away with me to a quiet place because you're just bursting and you got to share some things. Come away with me, Mike. You're about to collapse and you need rest. Come away with me, Mike. Despite your best intentions, you're heading in a direction that's more about you than about me. Come away with me, Mike. I created you. I created you for the rhythm of Sabbath, and I know what's best for you. Tomorrow, I leave for a 6-week sabbatical, and I'm excited for that, and I'm very thankful for that. And as part of my time away, I want to practice what I'm preaching. I got lots to tell Jesus. And I'm in the habit of telling Jesus because I have a lot to be excited about. I really do. I'm the pastor of Community Covenant Church, and I am tremendously excited about what God is doing in this church and through this church. Oh, I want to continue telling him how excited I am. But I also have become increasingly aware over the last couple of months. Time to slow down, Michael Frederick. Come away with me and rest. The first week of the sabbatical is mostly that. I'll be down in Ventura, staying with a friend, sitting in a sanctuary that's empty, going out to the beach, not getting in the water. It's June swoon and it's cold. I'm just going to rest. I'm also going to be asking during the entire time, God, am I serving Community Covenant Church the way you want me to be serving Community Covenant Church? Am I serving my wife the way you want me to be serving my wife? Am I caring for my children the way you want me to be caring for my... Am I the man, the follower of Jesus you want me to be? Because if I'm doing things in the wrong way, I don't want to be Miles. And I want to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And he says, come away, and it's not a suggestion. How about you? Do you dare believe that Jesus is standing before you this morning and saying, come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest? What we did this morning is not designed for simply this hour together. This is how we're supposed to be living our, not just our Sunday, but all of our days in our weeks, in our months, in our lives? Do you dare believe that that Jesus stands before you this morning? He says, come away with me and keep coming away with me to a quiet place and get some rest. You need it. And I'm looking forward to doing it with you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God that is present in our lives, that you are not some distant God unconcerned with what's going on in our lives, but you are actively present and deeply concerned with what's going on in our lives. So God, help us to respond. Help us to respond to your invitation to get away with you and get some rest. And may we be filled up with you. May we be redirected by you. May we submit to you.